As our kids slip out, I wanted to introduce a special guest today. Just about 30 years ago, my family were regular attenders and belonged to the church family here at North Central Church, and I had who I remember to be my first pastor. And this pastor was significant in laying the foundation of the relationships that continue on today. He has invested, he and his wife Donna have invested so much of their own lives and their giftings to help put the foundation in place to build not just the people here, but also build the current space that we are worshiping in. You'll see a picture here of a handful of church leaders, and Pastor Jack is on the far left over there, and he has returned this week, and he's a special guest of ours who's going to share in our series on the Holy Spirit, who is near and dear to the hearts of so many of our church family for so long and has made a lifelong investment. And how many of you know and have seen that God has used Pastor Jack and Donna in unbelievably foundational ways? Would you give them a hand and receive Pastor Jack and Donna as they come now? Thank you, Pastor Jack. Thanks for being here. Thanks for all you've done.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you very much, Pastor Dan. What a privilege it is to be here this morning. Thank you for the privilege, Pastor Dan, for inviting us to come. It's a real, real treat. Well, good morning, everybody. Oh, come on. Good morning, everybody. Oh, that's good. I got to tell you a short story, just a short story, because we do missions work overseas. And we were in Italy. I know we have a lot of Italians here. All the Italians say amen. Amen. Oh, my word. We got too many Italians here. I was there for 3 months. Donna and I were doing missionary work. I need a haircut. I walk into the barber shop and I ask them, they don't understand English, but I go like this. And I, how much? 27 euros. He says 27, which I know is euros. I take my 20. I figure this is pretty good. I'm going down the street. I'm not going to stay there. I walk into the next shop. How much? 20. 15. We do missionary work overseas, and we've had the privilege, of course, of being there for the last 3 years since we've stepped away from our church. This morning, I've been given the assignment of preaching on the Holy Spirit and missions, or missionaries, how the Holy Spirit works through missionaries. And I'm going to broaden it by making you a part of this. I'm going to call you a missionary. I'm going to call you a missionary. The Great Commission was given to everybody. The Great Commission was given to all believers who know Jesus Christ, and as we have just sung in the worship, how Christ has changed our lives, it was given to you, and if you know Christ in a personal way, then you are a missionary. You've been called. And in so doing, then, I'm inviting you this morning to understand how the Holy Spirit would work through you and how the Holy Spirit can energize you in this particular setting that we've been in for the last 3 or 4 weeks here at the church. So with that in mind, I'd like to just understand that in Luke chapter 2, we have a particular passage that is a story which seems maybe rather unusual, but it's a story about Simeon. And it goes like this, Luke chapter 2, and Jesus was brought into the temple, and it says in Luke chapter 2, verse number 21, on the eighth day when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, and the name that the angel had given him before he had been conceived. And when the time of their purification according to the law of Moses had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem and presented him to the Lord, and every firstborn male was to be consecrated. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was a righteous and devout man, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had been seeing the Lord's Christ. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, And when the parents, referring to Mary and Joseph, brought in the child, Jesus, to do for them the custom that the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now can dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel." Now the child's father, referring to Joseph, and Mary, the mother, marveled at what was said about him. And then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, "This child is destined to cause the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Pray with me, would you, just for a moment? Heavenly Father, would you just help us to understand the significance of Simeon's walk with you, and how it relates to the Holy Spirit, and how it also relates to us being missionaries in this 21st century. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Now, let me just walk you through this for a moment, would you please? Because I want you to come to understand how the Holy Spirit can work through you. So let me just unpack the significance of the story in that Simeon, he was a resident of Jerusalem, lived there for a long time. He was an older man. And but there's three distinct things that are marked out in the passage that we just read. Number one, he was a righteous man. The Bible says he was righteous. Now, he was right with God. He was right with himself. He had a respect for people. He behaved well toward the human race. He was honorable. Now, there are other people that are described as being as righteous as well. Joseph, who was married to Mary, he was called a righteous man. Zechariah and Elizabeth, they were called righteous. Joseph of Arimathea, he was described as being righteous. Here's the question that you just immediately got to ask. Do you respect all people? Do you treat all people with dignity and courtesy and honesty and justice and love? Now, Simeon did. But not only that, the Bible says that he was a devout man. And by being devout then, not only did he respect people, but he had a reverence for God. And in having a reverence for God, it was a deep reverence for God. This was a man that you would want to pray for you if you were sick. This is the man that you would want to go to if you didn't understand a certain scripture, because he was motivated to pray and to worship and to read the Word of God. He would be sitting on the front row this morning with his hands raised as the worship team was leading in worship. Here's the question then. You have to ask yourself then, do you have a similar deep devotion for the Lord as Simeon did? A similar deep devotion. And then here's the third quality that you need to understand about Simeon. Simeon anticipated the Lord's coming. Now, different than you and I, but the Bible says here, he anticipated the coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse number 25, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. In other words, he had been told that the Holy Spirit told him, listen, wait, and you're not going to die until you see the Christ. Now, here's the question. You, as a person, are you anticipating seeing Jesus Christ? Are you anticipating seeing the one that we have just sung about? I mean, that song that we just sang. I mean, it walked through. I mean, step by step, you could preach a message in every verse, because it was a 4-point sermon. It was just powerful. I could just walk away and say, okay, they did it. Now let's have would you please come to know Jesus? It was just great. See, because here, Simeon anticipated meeting Jesus. Are you anticipating meeting Jesus? It's going to be the highlight of your life. Donna has a little problem. My lovely wife over here, been married just a little bit over 40 years, okay? But she has a little problem. And you say, oh, Jack, you're not going to tell about the problem of your wife. Yes, I am. Here's the problem. You know, for all of you that have been at North Central years ago, you know that I would talk about Donna a lot. And Donna has a problem with sweets. She loves sweet. She loves sugar. But when she can't eat it. Why? Because she gets migraine headaches. So her whole life here on earth, she can't have sweets. So you know what she said to me a few days ago? She said, you know what, Jack? When I get to heaven, I'm going to spend the first 1,000 years at Jesus' feet, worshiping him. And then I'm going to the dessert table. That's, you see, listen, but she's anticipating seeing Jesus. That's what she's doing. So here we've got this guy. His name is Simeon. He's a righteous guy. He has, in other words, he respects people, all nationalities, everybody. Doesn't matter who he treats them justly and fairly. It doesn't matter. Secondly, he has a devotion or a reverence for God. And thirdly, he's anticipating Jesus Christ coming. Now, I want you to understand this. Simeon was not a priest. He was not a pastor like Pastor Dan, Pastor John, myself. We tend to think that he was. No, he wasn't. He was a person who was sitting in the chair just like you. He loved God. He was if you want to call yourself ordinary, you're there, okay? Something special, but because we got this name pastor, okay? No, he was just a guy that was, he was the guy that you want to fill up, you want to have the whole church filled like that. He had a deep respect for people. He had a deep reverence for God, and he anticipated the Lord's coming, and he's the guy that filled the church, the temple. He's the guy. Now, here's the question. How come? Well, there's three insights that I offer to you. Three insights. Number one, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in verse number 25, there was a man, his name was Simeon, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, we don't know the meaning of that completely because we haven't, in Scripture, we haven't yet had the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost has not yet arrived. So the words that are used here, the Holy Spirit was upon him, all we can do is understand it in reference as to how the Holy Spirit worked in context up until that time. But what's significant about the words is that it means that the Holy Spirit was continually upon him. So we have to stop. We have to think for a second. Continually. In other words, then, the Holy Spirit was constantly influencing him. God was constantly influencing him throughout the day. Don't forget, he's the guy that's sitting in the chair just like you. He's the ordinary person. There's nothing special about him. He just has this respect for all people. He loves God, and he anticipates. And why? Because the Holy Spirit's influencing him. And maybe you might not have the excitement that the worship team has, as you've seen here, and maybe you might not have the joy. Let me tell you this. Invite the Holy Spirit to influence you every day of your life. Invite him. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, just don't be filled once. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, it says to be filled continually. Just invite the Holy Spirit to fill you. And if you happen to be a person here that has not yet asked Jesus Christ to become your Savior and your Lord, in other words, you have not yet become a believer, then right now I know for sure the Holy Spirit is influencing you. I know that. Because that's how I've prayed. That's how Pastor Dan has prayed. That's how the worship team in the prayer room prayed just before the service. Listen, and all you have to do is allow the Holy Spirit who's talking to you to say, yes, I'd like to become a believer, and you can become a believer today. And as for you who are believers, let me invite you to say, listen, continually invite the Holy Spirit to influence you. Just continually to invite him. Invite the Holy Spirit to bring a motivation to you, to bring an excitement to when you're reading the Scripture, to bring an excitement to your prayer life. Your whole person, I can remember, his name was David. He sat about right here. he had messed up his mind on drugs. He spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars every week on drugs. He worked over at the process gear plant. Handsome guy. Came to know Jesus Christ. Came into North Central. And he identified with me, and I said, David, let me work with you. He said, listen, he says, let me tell you my story. He told me his story. He had just messed his brain up. Totally messed his emotions up. I said, David, let me work with you. He said, listen, he says, okay. David, you got to do a couple of things. I want you to be here every Sunday. I want you to read your Bible during the week, every day. I want you to pray. David, I just want you, David, so he said, okay, Pastor, I'll do that. And so he started to do those things. He'd come back to church. He'd sit right around here. He'd come up to me after, Pastor, if you think that I'm kind of going off, he says, that's because I can't concentrate. I can't listen to you. I said, David, stay here. Just listen. Just stay here. That's all you have to do. David, how about your Bible reading? Pastor, when I read the Bible, I can't read the Bible. He said, I look at that and I just a bunch of words. I said, David, you got to read the Bible. In fact, David, what I want you to do is I want you to read the Bible out loud to yourself. Okay, Pastor, I'll do that. His brain had been absolutely mush. He was functioning in society, but he just, do you know something? Because he allowed the Holy Spirit to influence him, he became a strong, strong believer who God healed his brain, healed his emotions, and he became a family man who loves Jesus and lives somewhere here in Syracuse today. That's the influence of the Holy Spirit. Just inviting the Holy Spirit to just influence him on a daily basis. His character, his behavior, David's character gave David's behavior, David's anticipation, all of these things. Friend, you can do it too. You can be Simeon. You can become the missionary that Simeon was as he takes that little baby Christ into his arms and blesses. Here's the second thing that you need to know, and that is that Simeon was taught by the Holy Spirit. Taught. The Bible says that it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's return, the Lord Christ. Now, he had been given a promise by the Holy Spirit that it spoke. It was more than illumination. It's like a direct revelation. But for him to have this direct revelation, he had to have knowledge of the scriptures. In other words, the Old Testament. He had to have knowledge of what that was. Because God had said, listen, you're going to see the Christ. You're going to see the Messiah before you die. And the Bible tells us that what Simeon did, he lived up to his name. Simeon means one who hears and obeys. One who hears and obeys. He listened to the voice of God. He listened to how the Holy Spirit taught him. And because of that, he became the person that was able to become the one who blessed the Christ child. Now, today we're still in the midst of the fulfillment of this, and you as a person can be taught by the Holy Spirit just like Simeon and do great works just like Simeon, different but great. Listen, my friend, listen, if you will be just taught, if you'll just open yourself and say, Holy Spirit, I invite you to teach me when I read this book. Here I am Sunday morning. Holy Spirit, when I come into the church service, when pastor's preaching and Pastor John's preaching, whoever's preaching, Holy Spirit, would you just teach me? And then when you go home and you open this book Monday through Saturday, Holy Spirit, will you just teach me? Will you just touch my heart when I read this? And you know something? Even if you happen to be in a drought time or if you happen to say, listen, Holy Spirit, I'm just trusting that you are going to teach me. I'm just trusting that. What is so significant is that Simeon had been taught the revelation that he had been given. Let me tell you this, okay? When I am at times, when it comes to the teaching, I've disciplined myself to be in the Word of God every day. And there are some times when, when, you know, things just don't bounce out. But listen, it's like eating food. Do I eat every day? Yes, I do. And Jesus said those that would hunger and thirst after him would become righteous. And therefore, that's how I also approach the Word of God. I said, I'm going to have this food even sometimes, you know, but I had it just, well, guess what? Holy Spirit, I just invite you to teach me. There have been a few times in my life when God has really spoken to me in a very direct way, and those are times when I've underlined, or those are times when I've written something down. And it was back in 1990, here at the church, underscored two verses. We had left the pastoring. We were here from 79 to 89, and just had a wonderful time here with the believers, and Dan was in our youth group, and it was just wonderful. And 1990, God the Holy Spirit underscored, as I was reading in my scriptures, God the Holy Spirit underscored two verses in my personal devotions, and it was really strong. Now, other times, normal times, I'm reading and feasting, and that's normal. But this one, this was like boom, and I had to mark it. And the verses was this, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 25 to 20. Have no fear of sudden disaster, or of the ruin that overtakes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. I marked it down. A few months later, Donna was deathly sick after contracting a tropical virus in Israel. Some from the church here and some from our church in Ontario had gone with us overseas to Israel, to the Holy Land. And on that trip, Donna got a tropical virus. And she was sick, and she came home, and it was they could not determine what the problem was. For one year, it was so, so significant. There were times that Donna turned to me, she said, you know something, it's so bad. I just feel sometimes like it would be better if I died. Our children weren't allowed to come into the room to see her because it was so, so bad. Do you know what I hung on to? What the Holy Spirit had led me in that verse. Months before the disaster even came, I went back to that verse and I remembered, God, you told me, have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes, for the Lord will be your confidence. And I stood on it at times when I was just so down. And I said, Lord, I am standing on what you gave to me. You taught me that verse and you highlighted it and underscored it. Holy Spirit, I've invited you to teach me. Thank you. I'm standing on that verse. Here's the final thought. Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit. Led by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. Moved by the Spirit. Moved. Now, literally, it means in the Spirit. Similar like in John. John the Apostle in Revelation. Simeon, then, he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. He may have been at home. We don't know. He may have been out in the lobby. We don't know. But what we do know is that the Holy Spirit moved him, inspired him to go into the temple. Right place, right time, right people. Now, there are many, many people like Mary and Joseph who have brought their babies for what I will refer to as the act of dedication, and they're presenting, and there are many, many people like that are happening here. And Simeon, inspired by the Holy Spirit, comes in and walks right over to Joseph and Mary out of all those babies and all those parents there, moved by the Spirit. That's what the Bible says here. I'm not making it up. Moved by the Spirit. Do you know something? That's not unusual. Jesus had already promised in John chapter 16, he said that the Spirit will guide you into all truth, and he will also guide you and to, in order to bring glory to him. Can you call this coincidence? No. You can't call it coincidence. You see, absolutely not. Simeon was guided to the Christ child. The parents didn't reveal that this was the Christ child. The parents didn't reveal that they had just come and journeyed. Can you call it luck? Absolutely not. He takes that little baby and he holds him in his arms. And he begins to sing a song. And he sings a song, and the song is about Jesus, and he's holding Jesus. And he sings about the Messiah, and he sings about the Son of God, and he sings about the Lamb of God. It's just a wonderful song. And how did he get there? The Holy Spirit moved him. Moved him. When a person is led by the Holy Spirit, they never, ever miss out on life. They enjoy the presence of God. Simeon, he was influenced. His character was influenced. His mind was influenced. Just like David Ravis, taught by the Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit, you invite the Holy Spirit, teach me as I hold the word of God. Teach me as I listen to the preaching. Teach me as I, just like I was. Thirdly, led. Moved by the Spirit. Moved by the Spirit to minister. Moved by the Spirit just to pick up the phone and say, you know, I think I better call so-and-so today. Let me just call so-and-so today. And you pick up the phone and you begin to minister to them. I'll never forget the story with regards to Dr. Jack Hayford as I attended one of his seminars. He told the story of how James Dobson, who's the founder of Focus on the Family, had a severe heart attack and was in the hospital, south side of L.A. L.A. is such a big, big city for all of you that have been to L.A. I mean, it just takes a kabillion amounts of minutes and traffic and all that to be able to go from the north side to the south side. Hayford is on the north side. Dobson's on the south side in the hospital. The Holy Spirit speaks to Jack Hayford. You need to go see Jim Dobson right now. He listens to the leading. It's something that just happens and it intensifies. And he gets in his car and he drives down and he fights all the traffic and he walks in and there's Jim Dobson lying in his bed in the hospital. And what happens is he says, I just had to come to pray with you. And Jim Dobson, the founder of Focus on the Family, looks at him and says, Jack, this is the most despondent day I've experienced with my heart attack. I have been surrounded with Christian family, surely my wife, my children, they've all been here with me, I have been cared for, and today nobody's come in, and I have just been so despondent, I've been so utterly discouraged. And the Holy Spirit sent you, Jack. The Holy Spirit sent you. Why would you drive all the way from the north side of LA to the south side? Why? Because the Holy Spirit moved him. May I encourage you then? Simeon had a missionary mindset. He had a missionary mindset. The Holy Spirit and the missionary. You're the missionary, you're the Simeon. So he respected people because he was righteous. He was a person that had a reverence for God. He was devout. He was a person that anticipated Christ coming. Why? I gave you the three reasons. Because he had invited the Holy Spirit to fill him every day. Will you pray that before we leave here today? Because he had invited the Holy Spirit to teach him. Will you pray that? Holy Spirit, will you teach me? When I open the Word of God. And thirdly, because he had invited the Holy Spirit to lead him. Will you receive the Word of God today? Anybody say amen? Amen. May I pray with you just for a moment? Heavenly Father, thank you. Spirit of the living God, would you just fill believers, teach us, and lead us? Lord, would you influence us? That's how we want. Influence us. in our character, in our minds, in our emotions. Would you, Lord, inform us as we would read the scriptures, teach us? Holy Spirit, would you inspire us to do great and wonderful things for you? In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.